So you were president of the Junior Charity League?
At the time. At the,
42?
Yes, and at the time that the war broke out. And it was really kind of wild because so many husbands were drafted or went into the service, mm-hmm. and so many others worked for defense. Mm-hmm. And so the women had to do all kinds of things. They did so many different kinds of volunteer work. Mm-hmm. And now, like Virginia Davis was working at the, you probably heard this though, that she worked down at the shipyards.
Yes.
And was telling me
yes,
that.
She did that. And Elizabeth Sullivan was telling me that she was in the was in the motor corps and had to learn about motors and things. And my sister Barbara Graham and I were both gray ladies.
Mm-hmm. What did you do as a gray lady?
Well, we were at the Navy Hospital,
mm-hmm.
and she worked with the men with crafts.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote letters and did shopping and things like that for them. And we went one day a week, and we felt like we walked about 5 miles when we did it because we covered an awful lot of territory. And every so often, why Virginia Benedict, whom you probably
know of.
Well, anyway, Virginia Benedict and I took this machine around and made recordings for the men, little tiny records, and they could send them to their girlfriends, and it was really a lot of fun doing this.
Where was the Navy Hospital at that time?
Oh, it's right where the Veterans Hospital is now.
Oh, I see.
That's where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, all the boys wanted to sing Besame Mucho and send it to their girls, and some of the most awful voices you ever heard, but it just tickled us so that every time we went into one, that's naturally what they wanted right off the bat. And you can imagine going for hours from room to room to room. They were in, great big
wards.
In wards. But we went from ward to ward with this hearing Besame Mucho. But at any rate, and I was going to say some of the other things. We had rationing boards. And there was one right over here where Vaughn's is. At that time, there was just kind of a little center, and where they had a few stores and things. And so they had the rationing board. Well, I mean, probably not the whole rationing board, but there's a section of it over there. So quite a few people volunteered over there. And then
how did the rationing board function then? How did
there's always somebody in charge.
The chance of, growing up and not being able to buy more than two pairs of shoes a year or something.
Oh, like yeah. That. Probably one.
Yeah, probably.
And we had, we rationed meat and they rationed sugar. And
did people go to the board to get their ration books? Or do you remember how that worked?
No, I don't. I think they must have they must have received them, probably, some way. Well, they had to apply for them.
Mm-hmm.
There was some way that we must have all had applications mm-hmm. to apply for them because they wouldn't know how many things you were allowed. For how many people. But at any rate, the office, there must have been the whole office over there because that's where we sent people to work on the rationing board, and they needed volunteers, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And then they still were doing things down at the hospital. We still had a book library service that we rolled the, that we sent the books around on. And because that was the old Seaside Hospital. And we were doing that then. And some of the girls were working over at Douglas, and some of them were learning to rivet and all that sort of thing, too. So, as far as the
junior... Did any of your friends, people that you knew, women that you knew, go to work either at Douglas or at the Navy shipyards?
Yes, I can't remember who all they were. I do know that Rosemary Wilson went over at Douglas, and I don't know whether it was riveting, but it was something on that line that she
mm-hmm.
did. That
along
she
the assembly?
Yes, that she did. And some work done at the Navy station, but I can't remember just who at this point. But everyone worked someplace.
Well, Mrs. Ron and her sister, Ann Craig, and I think Virginia Davis were instrumental in starting the American Women's Voluntary Services here on the
Yes, Long Beach. Yes, I know. And I was, as chairman of the, I mean, as president of the Junior Charity League, I was asked to in on everything to start up all these things. And what was the one that, the people that I'm trying to think of, Bob Hope and people like, what do they call it?
The USO,
all these things, when they started them, they asked us, all of us, and asked people like me and Virginia Davis had been president too, and Ruth and people like that, asked all of us to come to the, when they organized these various groups. And so I had two small children at the time, but my vice president was Marion Boyce, who was Marion Walker, yes, Walker's sister. And she was a little older than I. And so she went to all these meetings in my place and helped with the AWVS and all these other things too.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, there were quite a few demands. So she was the one that handled all those for me.
Mm-hmm.
They
would speak to you because you were an organizer.
Well, sure. And if I couldn't do it, then I could send somebody else, you see. And so Marion was the one I always sent. Because, and I mean, she was able to go because her children were older.
Well, this is what Mrs. Ron said, too, that her sister, who had no children, was not married, was able to give more.
Yes, she did, yes. And I know I was at the time that they were writing this paper for that Junior League Heritage paper that they sent out. The time they were doing that, they asked me to help with that. And so I called Marion Boyce and talked to her, and she called me back. And she named over the various things that we did. Oh, I know one of the other things that we did. We had Sunday night party. I don't know that we did this every Sunday, but Sunday night parties at the Pacific Coast Club for the officers.
Oh.
And different members would go down and hostess it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very nice affair, you see. And certainly the boys appreciated it very much. And I'm sure that there were some romances that came out of that, but I don't know just who they were. But it was... And so as far as the Junior Charity League was concerned, we had a meeting and decided that we just would have to allow everyone to drop whatever they were doing and become a volunteer of some sort for the war effort.
Well, as a member of the Junior Charity League, were you expected to give so many hours of community service?
Yes, anyway.
So this was
it was a substitute, and we did a lot more than we ever had before, you know, because we had regular jobs, you know,
mm-hmm.
almost all of us. Like, I went one day a week, and we'd be gone for at least 5 hours, maybe mm-hmm. longer, so that we were supplementing what we'd done before.
Mm-hmm. And running, maintaining your families.
And maintaining our families and all that.
Yes. Then, when the Junior Charity League became part of the Junior League, then you continued your activity with the Junior League? I mean, you were involved with the Junior League?
Oh, well, I have. By the time you're 40, you get to be a sustaining member, so you don't have to do too many things. But, I was going to say, we had the Dental Foundation, too. We had a dental clinic. We started a dental clinic.
The Junior Charity League?
Yes, many, many years ago. And we still have this Children's Dental Clinic and Children's Dental Foundation, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So I was president of that several times, and I'm on the board about 16 years, I guess, off and on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been, I've always felt that was terribly important, and I felt that I put most of my time and effort on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
part of the Memorial Children's Hospital.
It is now, but it wasn't at the time. Oh, well, at the time, it was in a bungalow, and our bungalow was down there at 8th and American.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally they moved it out by the City College campus, the one that is on 101.
Oh, yes.
And they have a dental technician's course there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they gave us two bungalows out there. And so for many years it was on Walnut and just north of the Pacific Coast Highway. And it's been a very, very fine addition to the city.
Yes.
And so, I spent a lot of time on that.
Who were some of the other women that were involved with the children's dental?
Well, I'll tell you one of them that was just really marvelous was, let's see. Can you turn that for just 1 second? Okay. Barbara London.
Mm-hmm.
And she is one of the most outstanding people I've ever known. She was very active in that. And during the war, she ferried P-38s from Long Beach to the East Coast by herself. I mean, that was one that you just one person, just a pilot in it.
Yeah.
You remember it had two hulls? No, you don't remember, but it did have two hulls. It was a beautiful plane. And she ferried, during the war then, she ferried those. And I guess her husband, he was in the airport too. That's how they met, because I think he was doing the same thing. But she is still selling airplanes out here at the Long Beach Airport. I don't know exactly which company she's with, but she's been selling planes for years.
She'd be a very interesting woman to speak to.
Oh, if you could talk to her. Barbara London, if you could talk to her, that would be just terribly interesting.
Yes.
And one year, she and Norma Craig, I think they used Norma's plane, flew in the Powder Puff Derby together.
Yeah.
But she was always very active in that Powder Puff Derby, too. She and her husband, they always got, somehow or other, they did the organizing, I guess, for it.
Mm-hmm.
But she was just a very fascinating person. And then other people, Betty Bixby, was very active in the Dental Foundation. And Vivian Davis, that was Mrs. John Davis, you know, of the Davis Furniture Store, and who is still living, by the way. And Virginia Benedict.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, there are others, Dolly Fowler, but she doesn't live here any longer. But there were an awful lot of us that were active in that for many years. And, another one is Joyce Paul.
Mm-hmm.
But we were active, you know, for years and years.
Your family has always been associated with the Methodist Church.
Yes.
Certainly your grandfather.
Yes.
But I'm also interested, the First Methodist Church, but I'm also interested in Calmont's Methodist Church.
Well, that's where I go.
Well, tell me about when it began and were you involved in that? Was your family?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't, but I just later on decided that it was closer. And No, my family wasn't involved at all. The other one down there, my grandfather was, and grandmother, they were terribly involved. And they lived on the corner of 5th and Cedar, and the other was on 5th and Pacific. And all the visiting dignitaries stayed with them.
Now, you're talking about the Townsends or the
Campbells? I'm talking about the Townsends. Well, the others lived on,
yes.
And the others lived across the street.
Yes.
Campbells lived across the street.
So maybe now is the time to talk about Stephen Townsend and
all right.
Anna Townsend. So please go on.
All right. Well, they, as I say, they were terribly involved in that. And then they were, Grandpa Townsend was, he came out from, I don't know if it was Indiana or Iowa, but at any rate, and he was an engineer from Ames, Iowa. So he had gotten his degree. And he was one of the early ones that came out to Pasadena. And was on the second council of the Indiana Colony.
Mm-hmm. Which was Pasadena.
Yes. Yeah. And so then my father was born in Pasadena. And he and my grandfather started the first north-south horse-drawn railroad on Fair Oaks.
Mm.
And I always heard that he did the grading on Orange Grove Avenue, so I presume he did, and they had a little farm up there on Orange Grove Avenue. And at any rate, and then I had an aunt, my father's sister, older sister. She went to the Los Angeles Normal School. And so then, finally, the thing that I talked to my cousin, and she said that Grandpa Townsend and this other man had a van and storage place, and that the other man went off with the funds. Mm-hmm. And so Grandpa Townsend had to go bankrupt. And so he went up and managed a big farm up in the San Joaquin Valley what was the name of the town? Tulare. Mm-hmm. And I know my father was just about 10, I think, but he always thought it was great because he rode a horse. But my aunt didn't think it was so great because she was a school teacher and she taught in the Buzzard's Roost School, which I think sounds about the worst thing that could happen to you. And so she wasn't very happy about that. So then later on, I got this information from this cousin. And she said that when he stayed there, made enough money to pay everybody back, and they had and came down to Long Beach. And at that time, I think it was still Wilmore City. Mm-hmm. And started in real estate developing again. Mm-hmm. So that he was, he was the first mayor of Long Beach. And as a matter of fact, the Camels came pretty early too. Mm-hmm. And I know Grandpa Camel was on the, he was on the council at probably the same time that Grandpa Townsend was. Mm-hmm. And of course it was a small, and I guess they were even in real estate business together for a while. But Grandpa Townsend was very aggressive. And Grandpa Camel just wanted to kind of make his own, do his own developing. Mm-hmm. And so at any rate, Grandpa Townsend was largely involved in the development of Long Beach and Orange County. Mm-hmm. And where they lived, their farm, was where the Seaside Hospital is right now. And evidently, when the Seaside Hospital, when they wanted to build it there, he sold the property to them, but in return took just shares in the hospital.
I read, there's quite a bit of material about Stephen Townsend,
yeah.
You know, in Walter Case's books.
Yeah.
And he said that he was president of the Long Beach Hospital Association. Was that tied in with the development of Seaside Hospital?
I'm sure it was. I'm sure that it was. It was when it was moved. He probably when it was moved, where it is now on 14th Street. Uh-huh. Over there in Magnolia, that area. I'm sure that's when it was, and. My father, of course, was one of the early doctors there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was secretary of it for years. And then, of course, they were, Grandpa Townsend was also, when they started Buffums, he was in the beginning of Buffums and the beginning of the Farmers and Merchants Bank. All of those things, you see, he was involved in.
Yes. Well, now, according to various things I've read, the family had visited Long Beach during the summers, and
they had done that.
But that was about 1895 when they definitely moved in.
I would imagine so. I'm not just sure, but
so it was a very small community then.
Oh, of course, it was just a tiny little one, and they had. I know I always hear them talk about was a tabernacle, and they had the. What do they call that religious affair that they...
Chautauqua.
And that seemed to be a big part of of the town. I mean, that seemed to be the main thing that happened in this town with the Chautauqua in the summertime.
Well, it really shows the influence of the Methodist Church in developing.
Oh, yes. Oh, sure, it does. Very definitely.
Yeah, because it says in case that, and in other materials, that Mr. Townsend donated that block of land between Locust and American, and either 2nd and 3rd or 3rd and 4th, gave that to the Methodist church to, and that's where the tabernacle.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. And because he was a very public-spirited and also anxious to have Long Beach grow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, when you say he developed a lot of Long Beach, he would buy the land from the Bixby's, either Jotham or the other side. Would he lay out the streets? Would he build the homes? Do you know?
Well, no, I don't think he did that. I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
But I know that he was a developer.
Mm-hmm.
And then he developed down in Orange County, a great deal of that, too, mm-hmm. West Newport. And then Mr. Vandewater became a younger partner.
Mm-hmm.
And the Townsend Vandewater Company developed all that area along 101 down at Newport on both mm-hmm. sides of the street.
Really?
Yeah.
Very valuable property.
At Costa Mesa. Vamp Townsend started Costa Mesa. And they, the church that's there, they, I know that they, I remember when they dedicated the tower to him. And he was very interesting. Oh, I have to say this too. We went on picnics. We're always going on picnics. And I now realize that probably it was partly to see new land. To develop.
Oh.
I didn't at the time, never occurred to me that could be it.
Yes.
But we always went on picnics and we would pick wildflowers and we would always in the hills, you know. And then also, the Grandpa Townsend and Grandma Townsend, their anniversary was in October, I don't remember the date, but they had a Nutwood Ranch, which is right over. In Anaheim, right, well, actually it was Garden Grove. It was right near where Disneyland is now.
Mm.
And I know there's a Nutwood Street over there too now, but this Nutwood Ranch was 100 acres. And there was a big house on it. And so every year on their anniversary, they asked, it was all the people from the church. I'm sure it wasn't the congregation, but anybody that was active in it all, because it was a big party. And we would go out there early, and they had two pits. One of them they cooked the meat in, which I don't remember what it was, but then the other was corn roast. And everybody had a piece of corn on the long steak and roasted their corn in that. And it was sometime around Halloween, because I remember my cousin Francis Cord and my sister and I. Oh, and my cousin Kane listened too, I guess. Anyway, we would scoop out these great big huge pumpkins for the long tables. So we'd have, you know, these long tables. And then fill them with fruit and lots of grapes. And we had quite a bit to do with the preparations for it. So it meant a great deal to us.
Yes.
And but it was definitely for the Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm. Then what about your grandparents, Campbell? W.L. Campbell. Now, you told me that they lived just across the street from the Townsends.
Well, they did, but they did not build that house. That was one of the Hartwell houses. The Hartwells built that house, and they bought it from them. But before that, well, I used to always go past the house, the big white house where they lived. But then on 5th and Pine. On the north, on the southeast corner, they built this building, which at the time was very, very nice. And it was there were stores in the bottom, and the top were apartments around a big patio.
Hmm.
And that is now part of the Long Beach Plaza. it was I was very happy to have it be included in the plaza because it had gotten to the point where it wasn't in the best shape in the world. We didn't use the upstairs. But anyway, it was very nice when it started. And then finally, I guess they decided that they wanted to live in a house, so they bought that other house and moved over there. So it was very convenient for us to go down there. We would go, like on Christmas, we would have the Christmas dinner in the daytime over at the Camel House, and we would come across the street and have the Townsend Christmas dinner at night. It was pretty exhausting, I'll tell you that.
Had the Campbells and Townsends known each other in Iowa?
No, I don't believe so at all.
But then I also read that the Campbells, when they first came to the Long Beach area, had a ranch.
Yeah, over in Artesia. Mm-hmm.
What did they have on their ranch? What did they raise or grow?
I honestly don't know. But I've seen pictures where they had, I think they had some cows, I know that, and some other things, and they probably grew grain, I imagine. But my mother said that when they moved out here, she was 8 years old when they moved out from Iowa, and they moved to Los Angeles, and they lived in Los Angeles. And then when they were looking around at land, it had been a very, very heavy, rainy winter, and so they looked at an Artesia, and everything was growing up like crazy, so they thought it must be wonderful soil. And so that's how they happened to, they wanted to have a farm, I suppose, it wasn't just a small one. And that's, so they had a small one there in Artesia. And then later on they moved over to Long Beach. I'm sure they had been here in the summertime too. And decided to live here.
Well then, your mother was Ada Campbell.
Yes.
And your father was Ray.
Vinton Ray Townsend. Oh, there's my husband, Lauren Conley.
Happy to meet you. I'm Ann
Andrews.
I'm Mark Beating. What a bit of acting up.
So they were neighbors, and they met and were married.
Yes. As a matter of fact, they went to. My father was a couple of years older than my mother. Maybe 3 years old, probably 2 or 3 years older. And he went to the University of California.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mother went up there for her freshman year, too.
Mm-hmm.
But then after my father left, well, she left, too. But and my grandfather wanted my father to go into the real estate with him. But so he did, I think, for about 1 year or so. And then went up to medical school up at SC.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, when you were young and growing up in Long Beach, I suppose you went to the beach all the time?
Oh, we spent quite a bit of time on the beach. As a matter of fact, we went down to West Newport because Grandpa Townsend had...
he was looking at the land.
He had developed a great big area there with that had a pool. And the pool, the Van de Waters must have been in on it too, because they had a house and we had a house and Grandpa Townsend had a house. And they had a pool that was 2 blocks long. They built this pool. And they had the water came in from, they had a tunnel. The back bay came around like this down there. It was about 36th Street. And they had the tide... what they call it? Well, it would be the big tide. We called it the tide pool, but it had to be the big pipe. You know, went underground for about 2 blocks, I guess, to our pool then. And so then you see it went up and down with the water went up and down with the tide.
So it was a saltwater pool.
And it had a cement walk all the way around it. And then the ocean was just a block away. So we were in the water, of course, all the time, one place or another. Because the pool kind of silted up, and we ended up by having sharks and stingrays in there.
Oh, my word. Sharks, I hope.
Little sharks and little stingrays. But all the boys had poles that they'd put... probably a nail or something on the bottom of it, And so they would, everybody'd yell, and they'd all come tearing out and kill it with their little. So we would spend the whole summer down there.
Mm, I see.
And there was a Townsend Van Der Otter office there, too, in the same little area.
Well, then you also, I suppose, in Long Beach, would have gone to the park and the
area. Oh, well, of course. And I remember taking swimming lessons down at the plunge.
Mm-hmm.
And we used that wonderful, wonderful beach, too, you see. And it was just a magnificent beach and wonderful waves.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was before they built the breakwater. Mm-hmm. And so that was just marvelous. So we spent an awful lot of time down there, too.
And the Virginia Hotel?
And the Virginia Hotel. I don't remember it being too, it was always awfully fancy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't have, actually, too much to do with that. We let a more informal